Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
All right, this question comes in from JR. By the way, before I get to the question, is it just me on this Is It Just Me Friday, or was the whole who shot JR really disappointing when we found out who actually shot JR? Do you remember?
I remember the whole thing, but I don't actually remember who shot JR.
Exactly. Thank you. It was Kristen. I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it was one of the great cliffhangers in all of television history.
Right.
And, you know, everybody, you know, was figuring it'd be somebody big, you know? It ended up being Kristen.
I don't even remember Kristen.
I know. That's the point. That's what makes it so disappointing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because it was very disappointing. Anyway, the question is from JR. JR asks a question mark. Mark, is it time that we can finally put this whole mentor gate thing to rest?
Gosh, I hope so.
It's a great question. Has it run its course?
Yeah. I mean, hasn't it? Hasn't it run its course? I would hope it's run its course. Like I've said from day one, like not patting myself on the back, but have I not?
Oh, yeah, you'd never do that.
No. I don't know why that made me laugh. I'd never talk about myself.
No.
My oldest daughter goes, she said this last night, she goes, I called grandma yesterday. And I said, oh, yeah, how's she doing? She goes, yeah, she talked about herself for 10 minutes and she said, yeah, go, honey. She goes, she's just like you.
Yeah. An apple does not fall far from the tree there in the Schlereth.
Oh, shoot.
So you got from mom?
Yeah, apparently
not poolside?
Mom. Not poolside. Poolside's too busy doing push-ups.
Taking the shirt off.
Yeah.
Hey, he's not talking about himself. He's just over there in the corner working.
Getting yoked.
Yeah, just getting yoked up.
Jeez. Okay.
So I don't even remember where were we?
Run its course that you don't want to pat yourself on the back.
Oh, yeah. I don't
the lie detector test determined. Yeah.
That was a lot.
Yeah, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to. Yeah, I mean, like I said, Joe Flacco, it's not about his, like, he's here to be the starter. He's here to do his thing. He's here to learn a new offense. He's here to do all those things. Like, the mentoring is just going to happen naturally, right? The mentoring happens by watching a professional, one, as a young player, watching a professional do his job, work on his craft, and then it's not like he's going to withhold information to try to sabotage the kid or be a jerk. I mean, that's not who he is. So, like I said, from day one, where everybody's like, oh, Joe Flacco's a bad dude, I've been telling you guys, man, this is exactly how it was in Baltimore. He was great to the kid. Lamar Jackson, was he happy about the situation? No. I mean, if you're happy about getting usurped by a young kid who you don't think can play, tell me anybody who's happy about that. Tell me anybody who's happy about losing their job on potential when you know you're a better player. When you know you're better at your job and they give it to somebody who's just younger and cheaper than you, does that help? Are you happy about that? Are you excited about that? No, absolutely not. But he was a total professional and he was great. Like, I told you he'd be that way.
Well,
and,
okay.
And Drew Locke has just confirmed. Oh, yeah, he's been great. He's answered all the questions. He's done, you know. I mean, that's just the way, that's the way this game works.
So, all right, you know, far be it for me to be any kind of a wedge driver between
two guys here
at the Fan, but you continue to insist that Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson's relationship was good. My orange brother from another mother, D-Mac in the afternoon, insists that no, the relationship was not good and that Flacco was not nice to Lamar Jackson. So who am I to believe?
Well, I mean, who would you believe? You tell me.
Well, I mean, make your case. Why should I believe you?
I was there. I witnessed it.
Wait, what do you mean you witnessed it?
Oh, I witnessed Joe Flacco being kind. I witnessed, I talked to Lamar Jackson about it. I talked to RG3 about it. I talked to the offensive coordinator about it. I talked to the head coach about it.
But what about D-Mac's sources?
What about T-Mac sources?
Yeah.
Look, what's the, who's the source?
Sources.
Local beat writers?
Sources.
I don't know.
No. Okay. I'm just wondering.
I mean, all I know is what I know. Now, was when Lamar Jackson took over, was Flacco super helpful? No. Why? Because that was an offense that Flacco knew nothing about. Now, had they been executing the same offense, could Flacco have helped the kid? Absolutely. But that kid couldn't operate that offense, so they had to come, you know, they had to create a, with Greg Roman, who was the quarterback's coach, who's now the offense coordinator, Marty Mortenwig, who was the offense coordinator, but Greg Roman did a tremendous job because Greg Roman was in San Francisco when Colin Kaepernick took over that job and actually put in that kind of read option offense, kind of more of a collegiate style offense. And so, you know, Greg Roman, and that's what they went with. Marty Mortenwig is no longer in Baltimore, so they went with Greg Roman being the coordinator, meaning, man, we're running a college system, guys, and we'll see if it works out. But you know, Joe Flacco couldn't. I mean, Joe Flacco had no ability to say, hey, man, make sure you do this. Or, you know, I mean, that offense was – he's never run. I mean, that, he probably never even ran that – say anything like that in high school. That's not – like, he has no he's just got no experience in that type of offense.
All right. Is it just me Friday? Giving you a chance to get stuff off your chest and good stuff rolling in. Let me bounce through a couple of these. This one, is it just me or could the Avalanche have beaten the Blues? Yeah, they could have. Man, that's still stings. That game 7 loss because you look at St. Louis and they're so beatable and the path to getting to the Stanley Cup was there in the Western Conference.
Let me ask you.
It was open to everybody.
Right. You would know this more than I. Have they struggled with the Blues?
They have struggled with the Blues, yes.
All right. So why?
But, you know, they also had, you know, struggled in winning in San Jose, and they were able to win a game in San Jose. And
I get that, but I'm just saying.
Take it right down to the end of Game 7.
Sometimes you look at it and say, hey, the Blues are, you know, the Blues are getting torched by the Sharks or whatever it is, you know. And you look at the situation like, oh, if we'd have just done this or if we'd have just done that, you know, you can't live your life that way. But for whatever reason, there's the two teams to me that they have struggled with in the past. They've struggled with the Sharks and they've struggled with the Blues. And sometimes it's just matchup. Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, the players we have and versus the players they have, the matchup, those players, whatever our skill set is, those players, they may not be the best players in hockey, but their players match up well with what we do.
Right.
And you get that in sports. At any level, sometimes you get that. Sometimes you're a better team than the team you're playing, but that team will beat you because they just match up really well with you. So if you play against that particular team, you lose. But if you both faced, you know, the same exact schedule, you may go, let's call it 8-2, and they may go 6-4 against the schedule, but for whatever, and you're a better team, but for whatever reason, you just don't match up well with that team. And I always go back to my days in Washington where the Redskins could not, early in my career, we couldn't beat the Giants. We just couldn't beat them, and they just matched up well with us, and the Philadelphia Eagles were the number one defense in football, and they had Clyde Simmons and Jerome Brown and Mike Pitts and Reggie White and Byron Evans, and they had some unbelievable players on the defensive side. They're the number one defense every year, and we would always run through them. We'd beat them every time, just about. So it's just a matchup thing. Our system, our players matched up well against theirs.
Here's another, is it just me for you? Is it just me or can you imagine the outcry, the national debate that we'd be having if an NFL team or a high profile NBA team, okay, a LeBron team, or, you know, a high-profile NFL team, if the Patriots, for example, if a LeBron team or a Brady team got the kind of officiating breaks that the Sharks have received in each round of the playoffs, what it would be like. So, for those who aren't aware, first round against Vegas, they're in game 7. Vegas is a 3-0 lead. A 5-minute penalty, which was questionable at best, gets called. And San Jose rips off multiple power play goals, comes back and wins the series. Second round. Well, we all know, right? Gabe Landeskog. And was he offside? Was he not offside? And should the goal have counted? Blah, blah, blah. Another huge break. Mm-hmm. And then, an overtime winner in all important game 3. Which was a direct hand pass, which should have been called, wasn't, couldn't be reviewed, and again, the Sharks benefit. So in 3 different instances, in 3 different playoff series, they've all received. Can you imagine if, let's say, the Patriots, in 3 straight playoff games, got the benefit of those kind of calls? It's all people would be talking about.
Right.
Such as hockey's lot in life, I guess.
Now, the last time, you're trying to take me down this road.
What's that?
This where I make fun of hockey, and then I get several tweets that say, you're a jerk, and you're not really, you don't know anything, and so I'm leaving, listening to you anymore.
Well, all right. Okay, if those hockey fans are poised and ready to go, do you disagree with me?
Right.
Do you disagree with me? If the Patriots in 3 straight playoff games... On their way, let's say they were a wild card team, and they went wild card, divisional round, championship game.
Uh-huh.
All 3, with that kind of a call to help them move on.
Right.
I mean, it's all people would be talking about.
Yes.
The fix is in and all of this. I'm just making an observation, that's all.
Okay. Well, I mean, I get it. I get the observation that you're making, Mike, and, I appreciate that, but, I mean, I would ask you.
And look, by the way, for the record, I do not believe the Avalanche lost that game because of that specific moment.
I'm not saying
that they would have won the game.
Right.
I've never said that, and I'll never say that. However, you'd be crazy not to think that it dramatically altered the rest of that game.
Yeah, of course it did. And you're not making excuses. I get it. You're not, you don't have the loser's limp mentality. But I would ask you this. I mean, obviously the Bruins sweep the Hurricanes 4-0. So they're in this thing. And then it's San Jose or St. Louis, right? 2-1 San Jose right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ratings wise on the potential.
Oh, you need, yeah, they need San Jose in there.
It's just like.
They need the
Stanley Cup ratings.
Boston's got a good following, of course. Feels so good for that plucky city. They finally get a chance to win a championship.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
What about, the NBA draft lottery got really good ratings. Like, people were excited about it, right?
Yeah.
What if the NFL did a draft lottery?
Ooh.
So it was just weighted, the bad teams were weighted.
Yeah,
And they try to stop you from quote unquote tanking by, giving you a little bit extra weight somehow on the,
that'd be fantastic.
Finish the season.
I think that'd be awesome. An NFL lottery?
NFL draft lottery.
Woo! Can you imagine the number that would get?
Can you imagine
the number that would get on TV?
Okay, so here's my theory. All right? So the NFL, as you know, they own everything, right? The NFL moves the Super Bowl back a week or so, and Daytona 500, which is the Super Bowl of race car, they have to move their race, right? Because they can't compete with the NFL. So they have to move the date of their race, right? They have to push back their kind of quote-unquote Super Bowl. So they do it willingly, right? So here's my thing. Set the draft. Okay, set the draft lottery. Get this now, before the season ends. So the last two or three games aren't really going to matter. So the whole, you know, tanking at the end to try to jockey position.
Mm-hmm.
So you set it. You set the draft lottery before that, before the season ends, and you do it on Christmas Day to...
Against the NBA?
Right. Christmas Day is like the NBA's day, right? Christmas Day is like the official start of the NBA season, and you do the NFL draft lottery.
You'd be like, come on!
What do you
think? Come on, really?
Oh, just and you absolutely just crush them in ratings. Just crush them. What do you think?
That'd be such the ultimate power play move, wouldn't it?
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
I mean, that's just coming in and saying, here we are.
Right.
This is who we are. Slap them on the table. You're done.
Yep.
You got no shot. Oh, that'd be beautiful. Now, you know what? Well, okay. Do you feel that there's tanking in the NFL? Do teams tank?
I don't. I honestly don't think they do, but, you know, I mean, there's.
I mean, you know the nature of the games. You know how the games are played. You know the approach that any football player takes to go out and play on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And you've always said that the difference between the contending teams and the teams that are out of contention down the stretch shows up more during the week than necessarily on Sunday. That during the week, the teams that are in it, that are contending, that are going to be going to the playoffs, they're spending extra time in the film room. They're doing the extra work, whereas the team that's fallen out of contention, they're not putting in the extra work. But you've always said that come Sunday that the bad teams still show up to play.
Right. You see, I think here's the difference between the NBA tanking that goes on and what goes on in the NFL. Your contract is fully guaranteed in the NBA. You're going to get paid regardless. You put together bad film in the NFL. You know what? I mean, you've seen the contracts, right? They just basically cut dudes. They cut you. Say, hey, man, you're no longer playing here, right? And so that's what happens in the NFL. And if you put that bad film on and you put enough bad film on 3-4 weeks in a row, you know what happens to you? You're a free agent. You get cut. And then you're a free agent. And you know what happens to your next contract? Your next contract reflects the film that you just put on the last 4 weeks of the season. I mean, look at Chris Harris Jr. Chris Harris Jr. has done nothing but perform. Correct? Am I wrong about that?
At a high level.
Right? Oh, but what do we hear now? What do we hear? He's 30 now, right? He's coming off a broken leg, even though he played in the Pro Bowl, you know, 4 weeks later. Broken leg and he's older. I mean, we don't want to, we can't pay him. Like I said, that's the difference between players. Now, if the organization wants to, you know, not game plan or put you in a bad position, but then the coach is going to get fired. So I just think it's a lot harder to kind of quote unquote tank in the NFL than it is in those other sports where the contracts are guaranteed and the organization, you know, understands that.
Wow. So what you're saying, you should not have a lottery in the NFL because the way that teams end up finishing is legit. And if the idea behind the draft is to give the worst teams a genuine opportunity to be able to improve themselves, then the NFL draft might be the most pure draft there is because where the teams finish. But so if you have a lottery then, if you're a sport that has a lottery, then it's clear that your teams are tanking.
Well, it's more prevalent. There's more of a chance. Here's the other thing about the NBA.
So the NBA and the NHL. Now, because the NHL is a lottery. Okay, and here's another chance for me to get hockey fan mad at you. So you know, hockey fan believes that NHL players, they are the salt of the earth. They are the most down-to-earth, real, most... honest, you know, athletes out there when it comes to giving their best. But what seems like you're implying is, well, their sport has a lottery. So if they have a lottery, it must mean their teams are tanking. That must mean the players are tanking.
See, I don't think,
if what happened during the course of a season was a true representation of who those teams are and they're just bad. Had
right.
nothing to do with effort. It just, they were bad. And so, if that's the case, then the team that was the worst should have the number one pick. You know, the Ottawa Senators were the worst.
Yeah.
And the Avalanche had their pick, so they should have the number one pick instead of dropping down to the fourth in the lottery.
They should, well, yeah, but, okay, so, I think that one, like, when you say tanking, people automatically go, oh, well, the players aren't playing hard. I don't buy that the players won't play hard. You know, the organization, does the organization set you up for failure?
Mm-hmm.
Do they play their best players? Are they giving guys, you know, that are on bad teams a load management day? Are they not playing, you know, a certain guy or you know, their superstars? Are the Philadelphia Eagles, Ben Simmons rookie year basically give him a red shirt year? The Eagles, the Philadelphia.
Don't worry. You're on a roll.
76ers. Yeah, I was on a roll. But you know what I'm saying. So it's just they're different sports. I'm with you on the hockey players, man. The hockey players, those dudes are straight up crazy. And I think their sport is incredibly tough. And I think they play with great pride in the toughness aspect and the way they go about their business.
So it's not a sense of what they're, it's not what they're doing. It's the manipulation of them and the
right.
makeup of the roster and all that.
How many shifts does your top line get?
Right.
You know, are they in the critical situations? Are your best penalty killers out there? Like stuff like that, that the organization is in control of. They could do that stuff to kind of manipulate that. I don't agree with doing it, but I think we've seen that in the NBA. Mostly in the NBA is where we've seen it. But again, here's the difference between the NBA and the NHL and even more the NFL is one player on a roster is usually not going to change the fortunes of your football team. For every Andrew Luck, you know, there's a Tim Couch, there's, you know, Ryan Leaf, there's a Jamarcus Russell, there's a, you know, on and on it goes. So the one player in the NFL draft is probably not going to change the fortune of, it'll start putting you on the right track, but it's not going to change your fortune. One great player in the NBA can completely change your roster. Like, if you have two superstar players on your roster, you've got the makings of an NBA champion. It doesn't work that way in football.
Coming up, I'll tell you why Noah Fant, remember him? Noah Fant, first round pick, has a reason for a legitimate beef. Tell you what that is next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
So yesterday, everybody talking about the TMZ catching up with Drew Locke after the now infamous airport shuttle crash at LAX, and Drew Locke decked out in Bronco gear, talking about how Joe Flacco's actually been, you know, good to him, and he's learned a lot from Joe Flacco. But to me, there's a part of this story that has been overlooked. So listen again to the whole exchange here.
The hit, yeah,
it was pretty hard. The whole front fender,
He's tough though. He's good.
You know,
good.
We've taken worse hits before.
Okay, he's tough. He's tough. Mm-hmm. That was Noah Fant.
Yeah,
and it was almost like I'm here too. Hey, look at, you know, talk to me, right? I'm the first round pick.
It's adorable.
And, mm-hmm. and it's, I think in one respect, and I'm being completely serious here, it's, in one respect, I feel bad for Noah Fant because he's the first round guy. You know, he's the first round pick. First round, man. And mm-hmm. yet he's been overshadowed throughout all this by Drew Lock, and, you know, because of the Drew Lock Joe Flacco thing, he's been completely overlooked. But I think this is a great thing for Fant. And when you think about the level of scrutiny that is given to recent first round Bronco picks, think about it. Garrett Bowles was such, there was such this huge need for a left tackle, so much that the Broncos went against what just about everybody does when it comes to the NFL draft, and that is take the best player available. I mean, you talk about a team that drafted for need, right?
Right.
It was the Broncos with Garrett Bowles. Bradley Chubb became a celebrated, debated first-round pick because he wasn't one of the Hall of Fame five. And now you got Noah Fant, who might be one of the most anonymous first round Bronco picks to come along in some time, because the tight end position mark has been so bad around here.
Right.
We don't know what so many other teams around the NFL and fan bases around the NFL know, and that is what a difference a stud pass catching tight end can make. We haven't seen that for so long that I think we're almost kind of numb to the idea of what you're supposed to be getting from that position. So this guy who was drafted in the first round, I think gets to come in and perform under a certain amount of anonymity and low pressure that I think will be great for him.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because during your whole rant, that's all I could think about. Is it good that he is quote-unquote flying under the radar? Because had he not been to the airport with Drew Lock, nobody would have known that it was Noah Fant. Like, TMZ wouldn't have known Noah Fant, but they knew Drew Lock because he plays quarterback. And so that's the controversy. You know, Denver's going to be talking about that. We're talking about the quarterback situation, talking about Flacco and the mentorship. Is mentor Gate put to bed or not? Like, you get to fly under the radar and just produce. At least that's the hope, that you just go out and you just produce flying under the radar. That would be a tremendous thing. You talk about taking pressure off the first round pick. Nobody knows the first round pick. They know the second round pick. And the second of the second round picks. Like, he was number two on the second round. Like, Mike, that's gotta be a good thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Gotta be.
All right, let's get to,
By the way, just really quick. So we're talking about, and we put to bed, you know, the whole mentor gate thing, right? But of course, you set it up by like, well, wait, now you said one thing, D-Max says another thing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this is how good a wedge driver you are. Then somebody on Twitter sends a message to D-Max. D-Max, too funny, Mark Schlereth is torching you right now. No mention of Mike Evans. No mention of you setting the wedge. Like, it's masterful.
Well, it doesn't matter if I set the wedge. You are the one that went on to say, well, I did talk to Lamar Jackson. I did talk to Joe Flacco.
Well, 'cause I did.
I did talk to John Harbaugh. I did talk to the, I mean, you, kind of.
I didn't.
I mean,
kind
you didn't,
of
you
anything.
Didn't, you didn't just.
You said, "Well, D-Mac has sources." You set me up. D-Mac has sources. He's gonna say, "Well, I talked to the people
right.
who were involved."
But you didn't just like stick the knife in. I mean, you went full Game of Thrones,
no,
man.
No, no.
I mean,
you stuck the
you
spear
twisted
in.
It. You
were the Winter Warlock. You stuck the spear
Winter
in.
Winter Warlock.
I maybe twisted it a couple times, but you're the one that you were the one that created the initial wound.
Nah, mine was just a puncture.
Yeah, he was going to bleed out anyhow, so I just helped him bleed out a little sooner. That's how, you know, how it goes.
All right, here's one. Is it just me, or do NFL teams never actually give you, Mark, any information? They intentionally lie to make themselves look better. So, Stink, no, you are not told the truth about the Ravens situation.
Okay. All right. Great.
And instead, the sources had the real truth.
Oh, the sources. So it doesn't matter that you sort, like guys that aren't at practice, right? Because they close the practice to the sources, right? So the guys that aren't there, that are telling you what they think is going on, what their perception is, like I was there. I spent a day there. I spent longer than a day there because I've got some friends that are in the, I've got some friends that are in the front office. So I hung out in the front office for a while. I got over there early. I was there. By the way, that particular, the way that worked is I took that Friday off. I didn't do the show that Friday because Baltimore had a little different schedule.
Right. I remember that.
Okay, and then Baltimore, some of the guys within the front office and John Harbaugh and a couple other guys, they come over early. So I Ubered over early without the rest of the crew. So I was the only guy in the facility. So I was there, I mean, I was there the entirety of the day. And, you know, the quote unquote sources, I talked to a ton of people, you know, like just a ton of people.
Yeah, because this, by the way, people know me. This wasn't just some, hey, I'm just kind of, I mean, this was like one of the major storylines for your entire broadcast.
Sure.
Was the fact that, hey, Lamar Jackson's now taking over. Joe Flacco is healthy, but it's now Lamar Jackson. So,
the first time in the history of Joe Flacco's career that he was a healthy scratch, where he did not start as a healthy player. First game, I called it. So, and all I'm telling you is I was there all day. I saw the I talked to everybody. I talked to people that aren't in the, they are in the front office. They're not in the football operations part. And I witnessed firsthand from a practice standpoint. I witnessed practice. I watched how everybody interacted. I mean, because I was out there. Did they say, hey, before I went out there in the team meetings, did they say, hey, you know, Stink's going to be out here, so let's all just get along, okay? Just to show a united front. You think that did they have that conversation? So I really don't want to hear that behind the scenes Joe Flacco was a jerk, and you know, and when I walked in for an entire day and talked to everybody in the organization, they all played the let's keep the truth from Stink game. Like, do you understand how stupid you sound?
Okay, I know. All right, so you're willing to stake your reputation and your belief in what happened that day, that the information that you received was 100% the truth.
Sure.
That the relationship between Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson was good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
But Mark, your sources.
Yeah.
Sources.
But the sources the narrative isn't as fun. The
sources.
Yeah. Now,
sources are fun.
Right.
Because they're unnamed.
But
it's all off the record.
I talked to Joe. I talked to Joe on that Sunday. You know, before the game. Was he happy about not playing? No, he's not happy. He's upset. He's upset about not playing. You'd be upset about not playing too. I've been benched. I was upset about not playing. Like, yeah, he was upset about not playing. But, you know, was he sabotaging the young player and acting like a jerk? No. Absolutely not. So, you know, I mean, you can.
You don't think there's any chance that, I mean, come on, Belichick is famous for getting up in front of his team at the beginning of the week and saying, this is what we're going to talk about. These are the things you are not going to talk about. So what about the idea that the memo, if you will, was sent down at the beginning of the week? Look, you know, national media comes in here. We are not talking about Flacco and Lamar Jackson being at odds. It's kumbaya. Everybody's on the same page.
Well, here's what I know. And most of the time when they say we're not talking about it, it means we're just not, you know, we're not commenting. I've got no comment. I've got no whatever. But we're kumbaya. So let's say that did happen. I just know from my experience of doing this for going on to my 19th season doing national television that guys – in an organization love to talk. And they love to give you off the record stuff that you can't say. And if I had some off the record stuff that indicated to me that Flacco was a jerk, I would tell you that I wouldn't give sources and I wouldn't tell you verbatim what happened, but I would just tell you that, yeah, it was a frosty relationship.
I give you
what I say,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden somebody asks Drew Locke about it and he says, hey, Flacco's been great. He's answered all my questions. Was Drew Locke in on it? Did the Baltimore Ravens call Drew Locke too? Do you think that happened? Hey, Drew, just to make us look better, make sure if they ask you any questions about Joe Flacco that you present the same united front that we presented here last year when Stink was in the building so that we can save face.
It would be quite the conspiracy, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean.
But, okay. Hey, listen, I believe you. I just take it easy on D-Mac, all right? Stop roasting him so badly. God, it's like you're on a mission here to like just rub the poor guy. My goodness.
Do you spell Q's? Do you say C-U-Z-E? Is that how you guys do
Q's.
It?
Not Q's. Q's.
Q's. Is that how you do it, though?
It's a Q's thing.
How do you spell
Q's
that?
Or it's Q's.
How do you spell that?
C-U-S-E.
C-U-S-S-E. Oh, you don't use the Z?
No.
Oh.
What did you think it was? Q's? It's Q's.
Q-C-U-S-E.
Okay, we gotta go.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back next. A couple big news items from the world of entertainment. Brock Osweiler is going to be the new Batman.
Ball security is job security.
That'd be great.
So remember when Brock was here and we'd be like, man, doesn't Brock look exactly like the Twilight guy?
Yeah.
The vampire, Robert Pattinson?
Right.
Remember we said, I mean, the dead ringer, right?
Right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now word is out that Robert Pattinson is going to be the new Batman.
Yes.
I am. Ball security is job security.
I don't know.
You know, the Batman franchise becomes such a mess. Let's just go back to the roots. And in this next movie, they got to include the, you know, oof, kablam.
Yeah.
Pow.
Just make it a total spoof. Don't you think that, I don't know, don't you think that anybody who is cast, since he's not a real superhero, he just got a real cool, you know, he's got a lot of money, he's got a lot of gadgets. He's like Inspector Gadget, only in a suit.
He's a rich MacGyver.
Yeah. Don't you think the guy should have some muscle tone? I don't know. Somebody that lifted a weight once.
But his suit does it for him. I mean, really, when you look at the whole Batman franchise, can't you just, like, draw a direct parallel to the Bronco quarterbacks over the last few years?
Yeah. You can.
I mean, think about it. We've gone from Brock to Trevor to Paxton to Case.
Mm-hmm.
Flacco, I mean, you can start doing the comparisons head to head. You know, who's Michael Keaton? Who's Val Kilmer? Who's George Clooney? Who's Christian Bale? Who's Ben Affleck? I mean, think about it.
Man, think about
wandering
it.
Around, no direction, no identity.
Right.
Who's the guy? I mean, you know what we need? Here's what we need.
Huh.
Batman, we gotta find our Batman for the next 15 years.
Let me ask you this.
You know, enough with these small windows. All
right.
I need my Batman for the next 15 years.
Mm. Well, you gotta
find him.
You gotta draft him between 1 and 10, but you can't draft him in the teens or the 20s, right? Or no, is it just the 20s?
No, no. You can do it. You can 30s. Find Batman between 1 and 19.
Oh,
you
can't 1 and 19.
Find Batman between 20 and 29, but you can move back up to find Batman between 30, 31, or 32.
Whew, there's a lot of rules to Batman. Let me ask you this. If Robert Pattinson is Batman, what actor is Robin?
Oh, we can't. They don't do Robin. That was one lamentable try there.
Come on. You got to have a
Chris
Robin.
O'Donnell. Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell. Robin.
Okay, leave it at that. Boom.
I don't know.
The other bit of celebrity news, Grumpy Cat died.
I saw that.
Meow.
Oh, grumpy cat. Only seven.
Only seven.
So what happens? You know what? You know what? That's, this is a, this is basically a sign.
What's that?
Be happy. You walk around all stressed and grumpy, you're gonna die early.
Good point.
What's the average lifespan of a cat? It's gotta be longer than 7 years.
Yeah. Know a lot of cats.
You do?
Well, I mean, I don't know a lot of cats, but I know of people who've had cats.
Mike's a cat man.
I'm a cat man.
Cat ladies.
Cat man.
Mike's a cat
man. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, plenty of people have had cats that, you know, last into the you know, 10, 12, 14, the teens.
Yeah,
seven's
the teens.
Early. You're right. You're right. You know what? That might be an analogy to life, you know, our lives. That be happy.
Right.
And live longer.
Don't be a grumpy cat because you'll die early.
There you go. More you know.
Hey, the things we solve.
The things we solve. That's right.
This program.
That's right. We just have so much.
Want to die early? Be a grumpy cat.
Be a grumpy cat. Hey, listen, it's a Friday. Sunny out there. Weekend's on tap. Go out there and make a great weekend and don't be a grumpy cat.
Yeah.
Just don't be a grumpy cat today.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. This is the best kind of program. I still want to know what celebrity would play Robin at Pattinson's. Oh, you could just get the Tyler Lautner kid. The Wolf Boy.
He hasn't been doing anything lately.
No, I'm sure he's got time.
Duff, what's he done since...
Tyler Lautner?
You followed the whole Team Edward, Team Jacob thing closely.
Yeah.
You're part of the fan club. You get the newsletter. Yeah, what's he been doing?
What's up there with that guy?
Idea.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Huh?
Let me look it. I'm Googling as we speak.
Here,
right
you might be onto something, Mark.
Right. Because, I mean, even if he grew, let's say, 3 inches, he's still 5'2". So he could play the Robin role perfectly. Right? Because he was 4'11 when he made those moves.
Boy, Tyler Lautner hasn't done crap since, like, 2016.
Yeah, he's got time.
He's probably fat now.
Now, Lego Robin was very cool. Is very cool. Lego Batman's very cool.
Really?
Will Arnett.
Yeah, they just got to keep making Lego Batman and Lego Robin movies, but they got to stop with the whole... Why don't they just let Will Arnett be Batman? Like, real Batman. Not just Lego Batman.
That would be great.
I think that'd be awesome.
What if Batman had an uncle, and he was fat, and they cast me? Boom.
Now we're on to something.
So
you play Batman's fat uncle.
Right.
Do you get your own suit?
Yeah, but it doesn't fit. Buttons are all popped
that
off. Belly's hanging out.
Little Batman uncle, those that suit you wear really shows those artificial rolls there.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not...
Those aren't official. Those are real thing.
Those are real thing.
Don't get in touch.
Those are greased up. Those are bowls of chips right there. All right. Have a non-grumpy cat weekend, everybody.
All right.
Go out. Be happy. All right. We want you to be around for a long, long time. Be happy. All right. We're done. Have a great weekend. Mark, travel safe. And we'll turn things over to the Safety Blitz with Nick Ferguson coming up next.